Ladies and gentlemen, it is hockey night in New York. Welcome to the program. It is Sunday, October 14th, 2018. You're listening to Sean Cuthbert, Tony Stabile. Another big show coming up for you tonight. Chris King, the radio play-by-play voice for the New York Islanders, will be joining us at 9:30. Tony, how are you?
Good evening, Sean. How are you?
I'm okay.
That's nice.
I'm all right. I'm feeling pretty mediocre, kind of like the Islanders last couple of games, I suppose.
That shirt you got on, I thought you were wearing a Nashville Predators shirt.
Yeah, a little confusing, right? No, man, that's the Hofstra blue and gold, not the Nashville.
Nice shirt.
Blue and gold. Thanks, buddy.
That's a nice shirt.
Thanks.
Like
it's my alma mater.
Mm. You got your Islander hat on, which is nice.
Yeah.
Nice
thanks.
To see you displaying the
thank you for updating the listeners on my upper torso wardrobe. Thank you.
Upper torso wardrobe.
That's right. That's right.
Very
I
nice.
Said it. I said it.
Song made we started with Soundgarden tonight. Makes me a little sad.
Yeah.
I hear the Chris
me,
Cornell.
Me
and
too. I know.
Guy's
I
such
know.
Such yeah. a talent. Such a shame.
It is. It is.
But love the song.
Great tune. Great tune. All right. Let's get into it, Tony. So, a full week goes by. The Islanders only play two games. They had one on Monday after our show last week. And
yeah.
then they had what felt like another offseason.
It did, didn't it?
Leading up until last night.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it was a long 4 days. Now, what's funny about that is I remember saying to you last week, you know what, Tony, I think this is a good thing. You know, it gives them a couple extra days to keep working on the system, keep working on the culture, get Barry's, methods instilled in the team, like another mini camp.
You did mention that.
And then the first period comes last night, and it looked like it didn't really worth a amount to anything, really. Because it was an awful first period, but I'll go back to Monday. Monday was a great game for the Islanders. 4-0 win, big statement over a team in the San Jose Sharks that everybody's expecting to be very well, very good this year, especially after bringing in Carlson. But they're struggling. They lost again to Jersey.
Yeah.
They just lost to Jersey.
Kyle Palmieri scored
they
two
came
goals
in, They
game.
Came into the metro area. I think they dropped one to the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Devils,
they
actually.
Did.
So
they did.
They're having a little bit of a hard time out of the gate, but Robin Lehner steps in, and he gets his first regular season start.
Boy, he looked good, didn't he?
He looked great.
He looked calm and collected is the best way I could describe it. I mean, he looked fantastic.
Yeah, he had a great game. So you have that win. You have last night's loss. They're mediocre at 2-2, 4 points. How does it feel to be Tony Stabile?
Well, I'm gonna discount the fact of last night because they played Nashville twice in a week. Two different goalies. Grice didn't have a great game against Nashville last
no.
week. I don't know. I felt really good after the Sharks game. I really did.
Everybody did.
I felt very, very good. Robin Lehner played as better than I could have ever expected his debut in front of the dozens of fans that decided to come out to see the game.
Dozens. Yeah, I was going to mention that. What was it, 8,500, something along
those
lines?
They announced 87, so just imagine.
So it was probably more like
5,000. 5,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That being said, that game was very good on Monday, which I'll take that. I'll take that.
It was I think everybody would.
Home game, San Jose in town.
1 p.m.
As we said,
don't farewell.
Going to those games always, it'd say screw everybody up to being those mm-hmm. afternoon games.
Yeah.
Last night, different story. Different story altogether. You would have liked to have seen, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't like it was a clunker. But as
well,
you said,
the first period
was
a clunker.
Yeah,
the first period had a lot of problems with.
Yeah,
we can talk about.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, the first period was not good, but they held it together. This is again. This is a team that in last year before that, this was a team that would have played a period like that, and then it would have been 4-0. Midway
it was.
This,
it could have been.
Period.
It could have been 5-6-0 at the end of the first, if not for Lehner.
Lehner played.
Even though he gave up 4 goals last night, I thought he had another very solid game.
He did. I mean, the guy's not going to stop everything.
Well, aside from that, in truth, just about every goal last night was basically at the fault of a breakdown by the defense. You know, I mean, if you want to look back, you know, you had those odd man rushes. On the first goal, you had Pulock made a questionable pinch that left Pelech on his own for the 2-on-1.
Right.
Not much Lehner can do there. The second goal, Boychuk inexplicably leaves the open man to support Letty, the guy he was covering who made the pass. I forget who it was. But leaves another guy wide open, 2-on-1, goal. I mean, you're going to blame Leonard for that, too?
No.
And then on the third
Arvidsson,
one...
Arvidsson had his usual, you know, spectacular game against the Islanders, which he does seemingly every time that they play each other now, so...
Yeah, and then on the third goal, that came from a pass from down low from just, you know, beyond the goal line.
That was a perfect pass. I mean,
well, no, it was a good pass, but the problem was that Thomas Hickey's in no man's land.
It was.
Butchie mentioned it.
You saw even the look of dejection on his face. He realized that
he didn't get the man. He just stood between the man and the net. So, you know, he gave the guy an open opportunity to get a shot. He made a great shot. I mean, he wasn't far away, and he just put it in the perfect place. You have a big body like Robin Lehner covering the net, and you're going to have to pick your shot pretty well to get it by him, and he did. But there you have it, 3-0 hole coming out of the first period. If you want to take any positives out of last night's game, it's the fact that they – bounced back in a nice way in the second.
Mm-hmm.
They took momentum back on their side. You see Andrew Ladd getting his first regular season action.
Nice little snipe by him. That was good for a pass from behind the net. That was a nice goal. And a Brock Nelson goal. I mean, two games in a row now.
Another positive is that line looked very good last night.
Nelson's
line with Leon Eberle, you might argue that was the only line that really looked much of anything.
I believe that's what Barry said, that was the line of the night.
Yeah, so... They played well. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the layoff that they were slow out of the gate because they were just totally outclassed by Nashville in the first period. And there was just a lot of, you know, bonehead plays. I thought Pelech had a really rough game. He made some poor. He looks nervous out there with the puck. You know, he's just making some questionable decisions from my point of view. And I think that's what killed them overall. You know, I mean, again, they picked it up in the second. They were still competitive in the third, but... You know, they had, what was that, Hickey took the penalty. They gave up their first power play goal of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So what, they're
eight
of nine they've killed off now for the season, which is still a great start. And
another, the fact that they've only had nine penalty
yes,
goals.
Yes, they've been pretty disciplined.
Games.
Yeah, through four games.
Is it four? It's only four, right? Oh
yeah.
God, yeah.
Yeah, four games. They've given up basically a little over two penalties on average. You figure, you know, nine penalties in four games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're disciplined. In fact, both games against the Predators, they only took one penalty each.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice to see. That's a little bit of a change. Hopefully that's something that, you know, remains consistent throughout the season. So, and I think this we're going to have a lot of conversations like this on the show, Tony. You know, we've been setting everybody up for this and saying it's going to be – there's going to be highs and lows, maybe more lows than highs, but you're going to see a good game against the Sharks like we did on Monday, and then you're probably going to see a lot of games like last night too.
There's positives to take out of all of this.
There is. There is.
I to say, watching that first line, the chemistry between Barzal and Bailey has been very, very good. I've been very impressed. Just seeing the way Josh is shooting the puck more. They were talking about it on the broadcast on Monday where Bailey is kind of in the Ovechkin spot on that power play, and
right.
Barzal just seems to be able to feed him the puck. Mm-hmm. He's getting off shots from that area. He scored a goal the first I believe it was opening night he had a goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy with the way that line looks there. It's still kind of a work in progress, which it's going to be. I mean, it has to be.
The whole team still is.
Yes.
It's going to take time.
The second line is the crux. Because you have Nelson and what he did or didn't do, I should say, last season, he's got new line mates. He's very involved. I feel like he's not out there just floating, which is something that everybody's complained about with Nelson over the last couple of seasons. So that's a positive. You lost Casey Cizikas, which... Obviously, that's a loss right there. And coming off the whole Kovach thing,
yeah,
having to sign Gianta to play. I mean, look, Kovach was not your prototypical fourth line center. But that being said, you really would rather have him than Gianta out there.
Well, let's dive into this whole thing now that you brought it up.
Get out of the way.
Well, let's open this up. Kovach he was a bonus to begin with. I think I've said that too on the show already. Like, if he worked out, great. If not, none of us even heard of the guy until we basically signed him, right? Maybe there's a few people out there keeping an eye on the KHL and what's happening overseas, right? But for the most part, for the casual fan, for the regular fan, nobody even knew who this guy was.
Mm-hmm.
You hear his name, he gets signed. Oh, he had some nice numbers over there. Okay, great. He comes in, and maybe he's an option behind Nelson, you know, if he doesn't work out as a second-line center. We don't even get far enough to find out because they had to make some roster decisions. One of the easier things to do when it comes to waivers, you become a victim of the waiver wire and all that, who can stay, who can go. He ends up getting sent down. Now, he doesn't report. I don't know if that's because he refused to or the Islanders maybe, you know, didn't even have room for him down there. I know there's a, you know, they might have wanted the kids to have the time down there. I don't know if it was a mutual thing. Whatever the case may be, they waived him. And
he's in limbo right now.
Well, he's gone, right? I mean, they
right.
With the purpose of terminating his contract.
Right.
So he's either going to get picked up by another team or he's going to hop on a plane and head back over. And
well, this,
you know.
I read Arthur's comment, his article about this, about how it mm-hmm. could possibly put the Islanders in a bad light, especially trying to bring Sorokin over. But, I mean, Vegas had exactly the same situation happen to them last year.
Yeah.
And Vegas was an expansion team. So they had every spot was open. And they had Vadim Shipyachov, I think his name was. Shipyachov had come over. And it was, again, a big Russian name. He had some very good seasons in the KHL. He came over. Everyone was expecting him to be, you know, automatically in the Vegas lineup. He had offensive potential, so on and so forth. He sat in a press box. They tried to send him down to the AHL. He refused to report. Basically, one of these Ziggy Palfy things where I think he just got on the plane to go back to Russia without even reporting or telling the team or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
They terminated the contract, and then he ended up going back. So this is not unheard of. And you have guys who play over there. The game in the KHL is a lot different than it is in the NHL. And anybody who saw Kovach play the first couple of games in practices said the same thing. He needs to adjust. The best thing for him would have been to go into the AHL.
Probably.
And to get some ice time, to kind of get the game under his feet. He didn't want to do that, and I understand it. Playing in the AHL is not playing in the NHL.
Riding buses.
He was a star in the KHL.
Right.
So I get that. I understand why he wouldn't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that him coming here and, quote-unquote, not getting a fair shake, that part of it I don't think is going to be too – this has happened before.
It just
so
looks
– I don't see that being a huge thing.
I'm not losing any sleep over the
I'm
fact
not either.
That they, like, obviously, it would have been nice if Cizikas got hurt before this happened. Then maybe
that
we would have at least seen
him been
put into the lineup and actually got a better idea of what he could do, and he would have gotten the shot that, you know, Staple thinks he should have gotten. But, like, is that going to, you know, ruin the Islanders' reputation for players overseas to bring them over? I don't think so. Because, look, all it really says at the end of the day is that when you come over, nothing's guaranteed. You got to earn your spot. And Kovach didn't do that.
Right.
You know, like, I don't think anybody here is going to say, he would have made such a big difference. It's a huge loss. It's not. And I don't think it's going to tarnish the reputation. Maybe Staples reaching on that a little bit. But, you know, but it is just hilarious that, you know, what, a day or two later, Cizikas
goes down. And, of course, it's the worst timing. But
yeah.
What can you do? I mean, this is part of NHL life.
And then, you know, you extend on that and say, well, then they had to sign Gionta. But did they? Did they have to sign Gionta? Didn't they already have somebody that they just pulled out of the lineup that could have just slotted in? He plays center. He's played center on this team. Fritz. Why did they have to sign Gionta?
Didn't they send Fritz down?
Well, couldn't they brought him back up?
I don't think so. I think once you send him down, he has to stay down for 10 days or something to that effect.
I don't know if that's the case. And if it is, then maybe.
And it's a waiver thing, so there is a time limit.
Yeah.
When you send somebody down and they pass through waivers, I think they have to stay down for a certain amount of time.
Okay. Well, look.
I think, I'm not 100% sure.
There's
but I'm
some
pretty
sort
sure.
of logistical reason. Then, okay, I get it. I get it to a degree.
I don't have a problem
with
Steven Gionta playing, you know, as a fill-in on the fourth line. I really don't. That's where he belongs. I have a problem.
Well,
with
he belongs at Bridgeport at best.
Yeah, but the only reason
and he'll end up there
right.
once Cizikas gets healthy. And Andrew Gross was tweeting from practice today in Anaheim that he was doing off-ice workouts today. He expects to be back on the ice Tuesday. So he may end up back in the lineup for Wednesday's game against.
Yeah, it was retroactive to the 8th anyway. So.
Right, so he might be good to go Wednesday. Gianta will probably go down to the bridge, or maybe he'll keep practicing with the team, whatever. But yeah.
Well, now that he's signed, he takes up a roster spot. So I don't think he can stick around just to stick around anymore. Like Seidman
right,
has been doing.
Right.
So Gianta's going to have to go one place or the other. So he's either going to have to stay
okay,
in the AHL
or go.
Okay,
so Cizikas gets healthy, and then he's going to go down to the bridge.
But it's a two-way.
And he'll be a veteran presence down there, and he can help the young guys.
Which they like.
Fine, I don't care.
They like. Yeah. Lou knew him from his Devil days, and Gianta played, you know, a big part on those. What year did they go to? What did they go to the finals with Kovalchuk on that team? Gianta played a big part on that team, actually, if I remember correctly.
Well,
so.
It doesn't really mean much right now.
It's look,
his best days
people,
are well behind him.
For all the people who you know threw their arms up and said, "Oh God, with John Gianta's back, why they signed Gianta?" It's a depth. It's only because Zekas was out of the lineup. If they really had a spot where they were looking to make a spot for this guy, they would have signed him the same way they
well,
signed
Pisa.
Well,
I'll say this.
So.
If there wasn't any sort of logistical reason to block Fritz from taking over there, then they should have just done that. If, like you said, there's something screwy with the waivers or bringing him back up because he was just sent down, whatever the case may be, then all right, fine. I get it. And again, it doesn't matter to me in the grand scheme because he's filling a fourth-line center spot. He's going to get 7-8 minutes.
Right.
You know, I watched the recap of the game today. And I barely noticed him on the ice. You know, they pointed it out. They did a little, you know, segment on him saying, yeah, he's back with the team. That whole thing. Butch, you talked about it a little bit. And that was it, you know. And he didn't hurt or help the team. You know, he was out there. He had his few minutes, and that was it.
That's it.
Fine. It's not going to have a huge effect on the team. So let him. He fills the spot, makes himself a little bit of money. Zekas will come back. He goes back down, but...
If he helps one young player while he's here, he's done his job. He's earned his money.
Yeah, again, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. Whether at the end of the day it was the best move or not, if you could have put Fritz in there, like it's still just, I think, so minor given, you know, the roster spot that he's filling. And not to take anything away from Cizikas, but, you know, and my whole general attitude on, you know, my expectation for the season anyway, like it really doesn't, you know, carry huge weight for me. So this is how they decided to do it. Gianta fills in last night. They lose. They probably would have lost without him in the lineup. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't.
Life
I don't,
goes on.
I don't see Casey playing a big part in last night's loss. So I don't.
Yeah, and another thing to just talk about last night's game is, you know, the shots were pretty disparate. But a big reason for that was they actually took a lot more shots than showed up on the score sheet as far as shots on goal, but they sailed so many high, so many wide, and Nashville did a great job of getting sticks in the lanes. They were deflecting shots left and right. So they were just...
Everyone forgets Nashville won the President's Trophy last year, so...
Well, I didn't.
Well, a lot of people forget, but they were the best team in the NHL last year in the regular season.
Yeah. No, well, that's the thing. Look, they kept much better pace with them the first time. In Barclays, right? They outshot them. They had a good game, even though they lost.
Well, Nashville was swimming also in the Barclays ice.
Right. Okay, that's a decent point. So were the Islanders. But I think...
Well, they're used to it.
Last night, though, we saw the tale of, you know, the Nashville Predators President's Trophy winners and the New York Islanders trying to find their way.
Agreed.
You know, I think they were just outclassed.
Saros played very well also. So Saros played a much better game than he did when he played when they were at Barclays. So I'm actually surprised that they played Saros against the Islanders twice. But
I'm not.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not.
You're thinking we're going to see a lot of backup goalies this year?
I think that is a sign of things to come.
Which was an interesting stat they said on the broadcast from Monday's game that Martin Jones hadn't played against the Islanders since 2015. So that means Aaron Dell, frozen fame, has played more games against. Oh, if you ever watch the movie Frozen, that's the name.
No,
of the,
I don't have children, Tony.
What does that mean? You have nieces and nephews? You never watched that?
I did not watch it.
No. Okay, well, the name of the town.
I know the song very well.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the name of the town that Elsa and Anna are from is Arendelle.
Oh my God! Okay.
It is,
okay.
And Arendelle is it's been in. I'm surprised you never saw it.
I never saw it.
Written in articles, and I think he's got it on the helmet.
Well,
if I'm not mistaken.
That is,
I think he has it on the helmet.
That is that's a path I didn't think we were heading down.
Well,
tonight.
I figured I'd clear that up
but hey,
people who have children that listen,
it's
they
a
all
fun
appreciate
fact.
That.
It's a fun fact.
It is, and everybody who has kids now just appreciated that. So there you go.
Excellent.
There's your Frozen. There's your Disney.
All right.
Comment for the evening.
Let it go, Tony.
Okay.
Let it go. Okay. So where does that leave us? We talked about Kovac. Talked about Giunta. I don't know, Tony. Well, I mean,
we're going to dive, obviously, and we got about 10 minutes before we get to Chris. But I mean, we should dive at some point into the way that Lehner has played this week and the fact that I believe, look, you can't take anything away from Thomas Greiss's opening night performance. Okay, 40-some-odd saves. He played fantastic.
He was great.
He was much more pedestrian in the Nashville game.
That's kind of been his thing, inconsistency. One good game, one bad game.
But I will tell you that from the what I saw out of Robin Lehner in these last two games shows me he has that number one goalie look to him. Very calm, didn't get too excited, too out of place. And honestly, I can't say that I've watched a tremendous amount of his play from the last couple of years, especially when he was in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you that just from his demeanor on the ice was not what I remember of seeing more of him, because he's always had that very, you know, we've talked about this very fiery attitude, you know, way about him and the way that he plays the game. You see that obviously the competition and the way that he plays, but he just seemed very calm and collected out there. Almost, they talked about this during the broadcast on Monday, that Mitch Korn and Piero Greco have been trying to work with him on more technique, whereas before he used to use a lot of instinct the way he played the game.
Right.
And they've been trying to teach him more technique. And it's where Greco was actually telling the guys that this is kind of like a tearing down of a goaltender and trying to rebuild him up basically from scratch. And to see the end result the last couple of games, he seems very square to the puck. He's not diving all over the crease. You could see, at least what I'm seeing so far is that you're starting to see a more polished Robin Lehner than I remember watching in Buffalo and Ottawa, and I like what I've seen so far. I mean, he looks very, very comfortable, and that's the thing that you want to see from a new goaltender in front of a defense early part of the season.
Over the course of two games, I agree with you.
Oh, I'm not getting ahead of myself.
I agree with you. It's just, again, time will tell. He's the guy I want to see on Wednesday against the Ducks. Well, you have back-to-backs, so you're going to have to see
1-1.
1-1. You're going to get both goalies Wednesday and Thursday. It actually, now, with that in mind, it doesn't matter which one plays Wednesday to me or which one plays Thursday. But my point, where I was trying to go with that, was that I feel like he is the guy I want to lean on more than Greiss at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that can change because we've only seen four games. We've seen each goalie play twice each, and I think Leonard's been the better goalie
through his two games.
I don't fault him for last night. I think you could have made an argument against Greiss in the loss that he had against Nashville. I think the Islanders could have taken a win out of that game if not for his performance in net. Whereas, you know, Lehner was really a victim of the defense in front of him last night. And it's funny, too, while I was watching the broadcast, you know, you always wonder what it's in reaction to. But there was a few times where they go to the Islanders bench and they show the camera and you see Lane Lambert just with this puss on his face shaking his head. Just like, and it makes you wonder, like, is he just like saying, man, that guy's an idiot or whatever it is. It's just so funny. But, yeah, I just feel like it was a struggle back there. You know, Trotz has already come out and said that he's going to give Pelican Pulock a lot of rope, you know, to figure things out as a top pairing, to take these top minutes on. And maybe that's why you're seeing a guy like Pelech, you know, maybe think a little too much out there. Maybe, you know, is a little nervous because now he's like, okay, this is real. I'm playing top minutes. They're relying on me. There's a lot of pressure on me. Hopefully he works that out. You know, I'm not ready to say get rid of the guy, you know, demote him, you know, to a lower pairing. But I think it's been a little bit of a rough outing so far. Hopefully he can get it together. But just, you know, from what I've seen so far, it's been a little shaky. I think Pulock as well, not as much as Pelech, but I think they're both still kind of finding their way. And hopefully the mistakes and the brain farts get minimized, you know, with more games so far. You know, and I think it's still, just everything is still a work in progress. And we mentioned it last week how we liked it Trotz has been tinkering with his pairings, tinkering with his lines. He did that last night.
Mm-hmm.
After the first period, he didn't like what he saw. Nobody did. And he moved down a guy who I think we need to talk about, too, is Anthony Beauvillier. They gave Ladd a spot on the left wing next to Barzell. Ends up paying off with that, you know, 3-2 goal.
With the goal, right.
But Beauvillier is not done much. I think he's still pointless. He was like a minus three going into last night.
Everly got his first point. Was it Monday he got his first point? Or was that last night?
I think it was last night, actually. I'm trying to find it for you real quick. But, yeah, it was last night, yeah, because he assisted on one of the goals last night.
On Nelson's?
Yeah. That was Lee's. Lee's. We'll find it. We'll find it. You know what? You had... All right. Well, I don't want to waste too much airtime trying to figure this out. But anyway, point. I think Eberle's been playing fine though. That's the difference. Even though the points haven't been coming for him.
Yeah. It's not that I'm not concerned about Jordan Eberle. It's just look. Everybody at some point or another is going to hit their stride. This is all new. It's all new. They're still trying to learn the system that Barry's put into place. You could see the fruits of it in space, you know, in pockets during the game.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Eberle had the secondary assist on Nelson's goal.
Yeah, that's what I thought last night. Right. Yeah. But I knew it had been a couple of games.
And he had some other good setups last night, too. He had a close call. He almost had a goal last night. There was a few times when that line was knocking on the door and it just didn't come through. But I've been fine with Eberle's play so far through these first four games. But Beauvillier, I feel like, has just been noticeably unnoticeable. He just hasn't done much. I think that's why you saw the swap. And if you remember, he was slow out of the gate last year, too, and it even required a demotion of the AHL to get his stuff together down there. He came back. He replaced Ladd when Ladd was hurt, and then him and Barzell clicked, and he had a great second half of the season.
Right.
You'd like to think that it's not going to require another demotion to the bridge for him to get his act together.
No.
But he's definitely slow out of the gate here, so we need to see him going. You still have Barzell, and you have Bailey, his line mates, putting up points. And the power play is obviously helping those two guys out, too.
No question.
But you need all three guys going at the same time.
No, absolutely.
You know, I'm expecting somewhere around 30 goals out of Beauvillier. He could do 25, 30 goals next to Barzell for the full season.
I would think that almost by dumb luck you can get 20 goals. So I mean,
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, he's slow out of the gate here. It's something to keep your eye on.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you know, he gets together. But like you said, it's a work in progress, and we just got to be patient. Got to be patient. It's only four games.
Yeah, and he's still young, so it's. You got to give the entire team. What did we say? 20 games at the early time part of this.
Sure.
I would say 20 games before you can make anything. And I believe that's what Barry said when he took over Washington. Was that
he did? I mentioned it like in the last two shows.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, he has to. Yeah. It's going to be a work in progress. You can't just you can't take too much of one or the other at this point. It's just got to see what happens.
Indeed, Tony. But we got to take a break because Chris King's going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes. So, folks, thank you so much for tuning in to Hockey Night in New York with Sean Cuthbert and Tony Stabile. Tune in live or for the archives at HockeyNightNY.com. We'll be right back.
If you're interested in exposing your business on an exciting new platform to a great audience of potential new customers or clients, then advertise right here on the Hockey Actors Radio Network. Reach thousands of listeners every week on our entire radio, social, and online network. Competitive, affordable sponsorships are available now. Contact sales at hockeyactive.com. That's sales at hockeyactive.com. Introduce your business or services to the coolest fans in the world. In need of solid online solutions for your business or service? Then contact Island Web Media today for all your hosting, branding, web design, social, and multimedia needs. With over 15 years of experience in the industry and on top of all the latest trends and platforms, you will get the answers that you need. Island Web Media is an American company based in Long Island, New York. Go to islandwebmedia.com today. That's islandwebmedia.com. The Hockey Active Radio Network is powered by Hockey Active LLC in Long Island, New York. Hockey Active is always looking for good people to join us as we expand our audience reach and network services. If you have digital, video,
social media, and sales skills, go to HockeyActive.com today. Call or send us an email and see how you can get involved with an exciting new company covering the coolest game on earth. Once again, that's HockeyActive.com.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Hockey Night in New York with Sean Cuthbert and Tony Stabile. And joining us right now, the Islanders radio play-by-play voice, Mr. Chris King. Chris, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Also doing well. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. Just to start off here, I believe you have an anniversary of sorts that you're celebrating this year. 25 years with the Islanders, is that right?
Yeah, 25 years actually of working on every radio broadcast. So that goes all the way back to, you know, how I started, which was doing like the pregame, the postgame, the intermission, then on to producing and engineering the broadcast, then on to color, and then eventually on to play-by-play. So I've pretty much had every job there is to do on the broadcast. But this is, a special year for me, the 25th year of working on every game on radio and actually my 30th year of covering the team. I was a reporter on the radio side for 5 years before I joined the broadcast. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning that. It is a very special season for me indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations. Let's talk about this year's team. A little bit of, as we've discussed over the beginning of the season here, some new faces. We have the new management, some new players coming in. We're only 4 games into the season. You know, they're at a very even 2-2. We've seen some good. We've seen some bad. I guess just off the bat here, I want to get your assessment of what this team has shown you so far.
Well, a lot of new, as you mentioned. I mean, you start at the top with, you know, a new president and GM in Lou Lamoriello, who certainly, you know, brings a ton of respect to the organization with the guy who's, you know, won 3 Stanley Cups in the Hockey Hall of Fame for a reason, just led the Maple Leafs to the greatest regular season in franchise history, which is saying something for a team, you know, that's been around over 100 years. And then you bring in Barry Trotz, you know, coming off a Stanley Cup where he also won 2 President's Trophies and a Jack Adams Award as Coach of the Year. And it is a complete culture change. There's no doubt about it. So that's, you know, in my mind, going to take a while for everybody to learn. And I agree with you guys. It's kind of exactly what we've seen so far, right? 2-2, middle of the pack. They're trying to work in some new faces. They're certainly, you know, working on new systems. I think they've been better defensively than they were last year. And let's face it, you know, when you lead the league in goals against, you lead the league in shots against, and you have the worst penalty kill in the NHL, as they did a year ago, there's only one place to go, and that's up. So it certainly has looked a lot better in the wins. In the losses, there have been some downsides where those things, you know, kind of rear their ugly heads again. So it's going to take a while, I think, before everybody gets comfortable with the new system that certainly Barry Trotz is putting in defensively. But I think in the end, obviously those numbers have to get better because there's no place else for them to go.
Yeah, no question. I guess let's go into – I want to talk about the goaltending a little bit, specifically Robin Lehner. He took a seat the first 2 games for Thomas Greiss. He comes in. He has the first shutout debut in franchise history on Monday against the Sharks. He looked fantastic. I would argue that despite the loss last night and the goals that he gave up, I thought he had another strong outing last night. Just wanted to get your assessment of his play so far, and do you think you know, they'll give him a chance to take the reins here as the starting goalie?
Well, you know, Barry Trotz said yesterday it's really up for grabs. He's just going to go with the hot guy. He said earlier in the preseason, you know, I'm not a guy who's going to be a 40-40 guy, meaning, you know, splitting his goaltender down the middle. So he wants somebody to grab the reins and be number one. And, you know, I think they both have had very good games, and then they both have had very average games. And certainly, you know, Robin, I thought, was strong last night through the first 15 minutes of that opening period in Nashville when the Islanders, let's face it, really got jumped. You know, they'd been off for 4 days without a game. The Preds had been rolling at home, coming off a shutout win, and it was still a 0-0 game with 5 minutes to go in the first. They scored 3 times on him in the last 5 minutes. You know, the Islanders made a valiant comeback effort in the second there, but came up short after some penalties in the third. So in talking to Robin Lehner this week, you know, he is obviously dealing with a lot of things off the ice, the well-documented, you know, bipolar problems that he's had, the mental health issues, the drug and alcohol abuse, but he's gone to rehab, he's cleaned up. And let's face it, the one thing the Islanders really have on their side this year is bringing in 2 great goaltending coaches, one that, you know, a lot of folks don't know a lot about in Piero Greco, who last year was with AHL Toronto and they won the Calder Cup, the AHL title. And, of course, Mitch Korn is the guy that maybe the most well-respected goaltending coach in the NHL, having worked with Dominic Hasek in Buffalo, Pekka Rinne in Nashville, and, of course, Braden Holtby in winning a cup in Washington. So it's a lot to throw at somebody who's also coming on a brand-new team. And the one thing that Robin, you know, stressed to me more than anything else, guys, was that this technique and these approaches of both Piero and Mitch are totally different than anything that he dealt with before. And I actually spoke to him about this on Long Island this past week, because Robin's father was actually the goaltending coach of Henrik Lundqvist back in Sweden. So I said, you know, your dad's a goaltending coach. How is he different than the guys you're dealing with now? And he said his father's approach was all mental. It was all about the mental aspect of the game, whereas Mitch and Piero, they're all about the technical aspect of the game. You know, he's told me that these guys have changed his style so completely, where he viewed himself prior as just a big shot blocker, and at 6'4", 240 pounds, you cover a lot of net, but he'd been too scrambly for his own good, and now he feels, you know, he's more quiet, is what the word goaltenders like to use, and, you know, ease of motion, compact motion, conservation of energy, fill the net, be confident, but be quiet and not be scrambly. And I think that's, you know, a big adjustment. Barry Trotz told us it took Braden Holtby 20 games before he understood what Mitch Korn was trying to do. So I think, you know, we're in the very early stages for both of these goaltenders, but they're only going to benefit from these two great goalie coaches that, you know, just came in after winning championships in their respective leagues.
Right on. And let's move it to the defense. Tony and I were discussing that a little bit too before you came on. And you talked about the obvious need to bring the goals against down, to bring the shots against down. Have you seen anything that stood out to you in the defense since the season started that maybe has reflected an improvement or a change that maybe looks promising in order for them to do that, to keep those goals and shots against down?
I mean, I see them, you know, certainly better in their own end. I see them more, you know, protecting what the area they call the house, you know, kind of in front of the net to the faceoff dots in that area, and allowing, you know, the shots to come more from the outside, from the perimeter, from the walls, which certainly makes it easier on the goaltenders. So, obviously, you know, we've seen a couple of different pairs of defense. We've seen Lucas Spezza in and out. We've seen Mayfield get in the last couple of games. You know, we've seen Pelech and Pulock together and then broken up last night, as Barry really wasn't happy with Adam Pelech's game last night. Letty and Boychuk back together to start the game but not to finish it. So it is certainly a work in progress, but I do think, you know, outside of opening night, obviously when they allowed the 46 shots against, the next game they cut it in half. They were down to 23 in the home opener. So I think it's been just a concerted effort in their own end by not only the defensemen but the forwards as well, to prevent those shots from the high-quality areas and allow them from the areas that aren't going to hurt you as much, which is, again, along the walls and, you know, out by the blue line.
Absolutely, Chris. You've been around this, as we discussed earlier, you know, 25 years you've been around this organization. Lou Lamoriello comes in. This is a Hall of Famer. This is a guy who's won multiple Stanley Cups. Just describe a little bit about what the difference that you see on a day-to-day basis now that Lou is around and the way that the team is, just how they have reacted to the fact that Lou and this new culture that they've been trying to instill.
Yeah, I think they've all taken to it, guys. You know, it's you know, in talking to some of the guys privately, they felt that they had gotten away from that a little too much under the past regime, and it was time to bring back that attention to detail, is a word that Barry Trotz always used, and Lou talks about the culture change. But, you know, he just has a certain way of going about things that he does, and he's done it his entire career. So to bring that structure back to the guys' lives, to, you know, kind of lay out in front of them in black and white, this is what we do, this is what we do not do, this is how we act as an organization on the ice, how we act as an organization off the ice. And I talked to Matt Martin a lot about him, because Matty had been under him up in Toronto the last couple of years, and he said it's a black and white world with Lou. He said there is no gray area whatsoever. You know what you're expected to do, you know what you're not allowed to do, and if there's a problem, I said to Matt, does Lou come to you directly or does it go through an intermediary? He says there's no intermediary. Lou will let you know if there's something he's unhappy with, but Lou will also let you know when there's something he is happy with. So Matt had said, you know, he's had many talks in the office with Lou, and obviously it was a tough go You know, last year up in Toronto from Matt, he was a healthy scratch 30 of the last 33 games. And, you know, he had some frank conversation with Lou Lamoriello, but he appreciated the fact that Lou's door was always open. And, again, there was no gray area. It was black and white in every issue, and he treated every player and, in fact, everyone in the organization the same. So that's the culture change that, Lou's been trying to bring here that was obviously so successful for 28 years in New Jersey and for the last three north of the border as well.
And you bring up a good point. I think fans, Sean and I, are very happy the fact that Matt Martin is back in an Island uniform, probably that he never should have left.
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah, we're all very happy to see Matty back in his, with his old number 17. But just what you were just saying, how important is it to have a guy like Martin who spent the last 2 years with Lou to kind of come into that locker room? And he already has the respect of the guys because obviously he knows most of them. He's played with most of these guys before. What kind of effect does he have here on kind of being not the intermediary, not like Lou's guy in the room, but someone that can just kind of explain how the way Lou operates and basically bringing what Lou has brought from Toronto and what he had from New Jersey, having lived it the last 2 years? How important is Martin being in that room for this team and instilling that culture that Lou is looking to instill?
I think it's huge, guys, because as you said, here's a guy that's been through it with Lou the last 2 years. There's no doubt about it. And even a guy like Steven Gionta, you know, who got to play, you know, last night for the first time in 2 years with the Islanders, spent 12 years in the Devils organization under Lou. So anybody that can explain to them, you know, the reasons why what Lou does works is going to help. And, you know, as much as Matt was, you know, counted on for that in the room, they respect him so much for what he's done in his past Islander career. But you have to remember for him as well, he's learning all new systems under Barry Trotz. So I remember talking to Matt after the very first practice this year, and I said, you know, what's it like to have the blue and orange back on again? And he said, you know what? I didn't even think about it because I was just so nervous to make sure I didn't mess up in the drills. I wanted to make a good first impression for the new coaching staff. So even though obviously he's come in under Lou the last two seasons, he was worried about making sure he was doing the drills right and making a good you know, first impression on Barry Trotz and an entirely new coaching staff. But, yeah, I don't think you can underestimate the presence of Matt as he's always had the leadership in the room, off the ice. We know what he does in the community. But as someone that, you know, worked very closely with Lou the last 2 years, I'm sure if guys had any questions about what was being done in the front office, and Matt certainly could help him out in that regard, just as I related to that story he told me about, you know, the way Lou likes to work.
No doubt about it, Chris. And, you know, we also discussed before you came on what happened with Jan Kovac. Everybody was kind of curious what was going to happen with this guy, whether or not he was going to bring something to the table. He ends up getting, well, sent down to Bridgeport. He doesn't report. He ends up now looks like he's out of the organization completely. Do you think that that's, especially with Cizikas now getting hurt, do you think that that might have been a potential misstep here, and this was actually now an opportunity he could have had to get into the lineup and actually see what he might have been able to do in regular season games? Or do you really think, you know, down the road it's really not going to have, you know, too much of a consequence here?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, you know, when the move was made, we spoke to Barry Trotz about it immediately, and he said in Kovac he saw a guy who was extremely smart. Obviously, you're talking about a guy who was better than a point a game in the second-best league in the world the last 5 years over in the KHL. He had some terrific wingers over there that certainly helped him, and Barry talked about, you know, the head for the game was certainly there, but he didn't think the skating ability was. And Kovac himself, you know, during training camp said he was really struggling with the adjustment to the smaller ice surface. So, you know, had he stuck around, it would have been interesting to see how he get, you know, slotted into that middle spot. But guys like, you know, Tom Kunackel have played center. Leo Komarov have played center. I asked Lou about that yesterday. Was there any thought of moving those guys down back to the middle in the absence of Casey Cizikas? And he said, no, the way we wanted to go was Steven Gionta because they know what he brings. And obviously he's got that past history with Lou. So, you know, had Kovac made the team, now you're down a center, a true natural center, which he was. Is he the guy you would have go with? It might have been interesting to see, but they just didn't really feel like his skating ability and the struggles with the small rink, the NHL was the place for him to start. They had ticketed him for Bridgeport, and as you said, it doesn't look like it's going to work out that way for Kovac, who certainly was one of the most, you know, interesting stories coming into training camp to see if he could you know, have his type of success in the NHL that he did in the KHL.
Absolutely. And my last question for you, Chris, is about Matthew Barzal. You know, he stepped into some pretty big shoes now, centering the top line. What do you see from him? How he's adjusting to the different minutes and the different defensive pairings that he's seeing now?
Well, that's the biggest thing, guys. I think the minutes he'll be fine with, but it's the defensive pairings. A year ago, you know, when you were the opposition, let's face it, every game you game planned to try to shut down the Islanders, did you choose to shut down the Tavares line, or because of the way Barzal actually outscored the former captain, did you choose to shut down his line? And the teams had to choose. So on a nightly basis, he wasn't always seeing the top defensive pair. He wasn't always seeing the other team's top checking line, and now he is. So, you know, so far he and Josh Bailey are co-leading the team with 4 points apiece, but when you look closely at those numbers, 3 of those 4 points for both of them have come on the power play. So each of them only has 1 point at even strength through the first 4 games. And last night we saw Anthony Beauvillier come off that first line in place of Andrew Ladd, who moved up there. So it's going to be interesting to see how that first line evolves. Obviously, people forget that Barzal had a ton of success with Ladd before Andrew got hurt. And then, of course, Bo came back from Bridgeport and was a different player a year ago. And we all know, you know, Josh Bailey put up career numbers, goals, assists, and points on the right side of that first line. But again, with Tavares, a guy he had played with for 9 years as his center. So it's going to be interesting to watch it going forward, because now the other teams have one line and one line only to shut down. I mean, last night in Nashville, that second line of Nelson, Lee, and Eberle was actually the best of the, you know, the Isles for the entire game. So if they can emerge and make other teams try to decide who we're going to shut down, it could certainly help out Barzal. But he's going to have a big challenge in front of him to try to equal those numbers of, you know, 85 points in a rookie season. And, you know, people forget that John Tavares only had 54 points in his rookie season. So, you know, Matt Barzal highly outscored Tavares in their first year in the league. But now can he keep it up, seeing that number one D pair and that top checking line of every team every single night? It's going to be interesting to watch.
No doubt about it, Chris. And we just want to thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. And we hope to have you on again down the road. And once again, congrats on your anniversary.
Thank you so much, guys. I love talking hockey with you. And thanks for bringing up that anniversary. It is a big year for me, and I do appreciate it.
Absolutely, Chris. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks.
All right, folks. That was the radio play-by-play voice of the New York Islanders, Mr. Chris King. Always a great spot with Chris.
Always.
Love having
always.
Him on the show.
And there are more prepared guests you could possibly have than Chris.
Yeah, King. I feel like he almost rattled. Have to try harder to to throw him off his game, because he's always
he's on the ball.
Yeah.
Every just throwing stats out there, you gotta love it. You gotta love him. Chris,
it's great.
He is well prepared.
And I think I like the fact that he was able to expand a little bit on that Kovach situation, and mm-hmm. and he very, you know, plainly got an answer about Gianta coming in and saying, no, this is the way that we wanted to go. We wanted him, the guy, to step in there. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you like it or love it, that's what they decided. I mean, I guess it's just you can add it to, you know, another one of these fairly questionable decisions that have been made roster-wise, bringing in these older guys that have had success in the past, that are in their 30s, that are kind of past their prime. You know, you can argue against all these guys whether they even belong in an NHL lineup when you go down that list. So,
right.
You know, I don't blame fans for you know, bringing that up, and you see it on Twitter and stuff like that and questioning these moves. But again, like, I just, for the season I think they're going to have, I really don't think it's a big deal. I really don't think it matters. If they want to throw Gianta in there while Sissoko's out, fine. Have at it. Have fun.
No, I definitely don't have a problem with it. I really don't.
It does send an odd message, though, if Fritz could have stepped in there. You know what I mean? Like, it sends an odd message. Like, why isn't he getting the shot? Why isn't Kunackle getting the shot, or whomever? You know, because, like, Ladd comes back in, right? So Kunackle's taken back out of the lineup.
Well, he said, Barry said, they specifically wanted Gianta. They knew what he was going to give them, and that's what they wanted. So.
Yeah, and I guess we're just going to have to accept that. Yep. And maybe they have great reasoning for it that we're not privy to or we don't understand, but that's just the way they want to do it. So that's the way they're going to do it. So.
That's,
I mean,
it is what's going on right now.
I'll be more on board with the barking from the fans, you know, if decisions like these continue into the future and where there's more on the line, when there's more at stake, you know, again, like I know it's probably, maybe it's not the best attitude to have, you know, the one that I keep kind of selling everybody, right, is just who cares? Because I don't expect them to win, but obviously I want them to. But, you know, when there's more on the line, when it's time to actually, you know, make moves that are going to improve the team when they're in a position to win, then, yeah, I'll be right there with you saying what's going on here.
Well,
you know,
this is the thing that you have to remember is that any team, in no matter what the sport is, if you lose your franchise player permanently, you need to reassess where you are. You have to see what you have, the pieces that you have. You just no one. There was nobody you were going to either acquire or sign or draft that was going to take the
spot. It just set everything right off the bat.
So
it set everything back. And
back.
I'd rather them take a cool, collected approach to it than just desperately trying to fill spots, dealing away prospects, you know, all that. And
we're going to get back right away.
Yeah,
let's deal every pick and
yeah, no. Look, if the guy had a stayed, yeah, then you get rid of some futures for some currents. And we've said it.
We're having a different conversation. It sucks
because we all had big dreams of having two of the, you know, one of the top 1-2 center combos in the league. Everybody was excited. You bring in Lou and Trotz, and it's like, wow, this really has potential to be a special season.
Yeah.
The guy goes, and it really just pulled the rug out. It really did. So, and now it set the team back, and, you know, this year, I'm going to keep saying it's a wash.
It's a reassessment, and that's what has to happen. You don't lose a player of that caliber. You don't lose that caliber of a player and just replace him right off the bat. You had Barzal and him together were dynamite, absolutely. So, yes, you have a guy who can step into that role, but who's stepping into Barzal's role? And that's what has to happen here. Besides the fact that you've completely changed everything about this organization before that even took place. So you knew that there was going to be a completely new front office. You knew there was going to be a new way that they looked at statistics, that they looked at video. There were different people that were doing those particular types of jobs. A brand new coaching staff. Everything is different. So you just have to give it the year. And you don't want to say it. You don't want it to be this way. You don't want to just write off a season and say, well, whatever happens, happens. But that's what you have to do here because when you lose somebody of that stature, reassess where you are. And I like the fact that no one is just firing away and making these desperation moves, like you said, just in order to make moves.
Yeah, and we're going to find out who's worth their salt, right? Can Brock Nelson be a consistent second-line center or just center that fits somewhere on this team? You know, even if, you know, I'm looking towards the end of the season or what have you, but maybe they decide to keep him and he becomes the 3C underneath the guy that they pick up in the offseason. I don't know, but they're going to find out what this guy can do with two pretty decent wingers and Lee and Eberle next to him.
I agree.
So you'll get a pretty damn good gauge of whether Brock Nelson is going to be worth his salt as a center this season because that's the position they picked for him, and they're probably going to ride it out at least until the trade deadline.
Well, I just wish he wasn't going to be a unrestricted free agent after the season because, you know,
I feel like that
has an effect. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes that has an effect on a player because they're in a contract season, they play differently. So are we going to go into next season saying, well, the reason why Nelson played the way he did last year was because it was a contract year, or has he actually turned the corner?
That's what I worry about. I'm willing to gamble with that because we don't even know if he's going to have a good to great year yet. I mean, so far it's looked pretty good through four games. But I'll tell you what, if we get to midseason and it's back to same old Brock, it's going to be very easy to walk away from him and say,
no question.
Thank you, but no thank you. Good luck finding a contract elsewhere. You're not bound to him anymore. He's not on your payroll. You can put that towards somebody, something else, whatever. So I actually think it's good that he's unrestricted because if he earns his contract and he wants to stay and Lou wants to keep him around, they work on a longer-term deal. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, they still see him more as a 3C. You know, and they want to bring in somebody else. I don't know. Look, I would love to see him break out and be the second-line center that, you know, he's trying out to be this year. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, because,
but, you know, we're going to find out. That's the thing. And you can go down the roster. Yes. You can go down the roster. You got – it's a huge audition year for him. It's a huge audition year for – like I'm talking about Pelech and Pulick right now. Pulick, I think, is going to be just fine. He's going to be the top 4D, potentially top 2D that everybody's kind of dreaming about, right? Pelech, not so convinced, but he's getting thrown out to the fire. Barry Trotz saying, look, I'm going to put my faith in this guy. I'm going to give him some rope. I'm going to give him a chance here. We're going to find out what he's made of.
Well, he sees something. He sees something there. So you have to
right.
have some.
This organization has really liked this guy since they drafted him. Even before Lou and Barry came in, you know, they gave him that long-term contract. You know, Snow with his classic, you know, long-term, short money, right? That was the Gar Snow special.
It's actually the Andrew McDonald special because he was the worst one to sign it.
Yeah. But so we're going to find out what this guy's worth, right? You know, and I guess you can continue to go down the lineup.
He's an NHL. I mean, look, I don't think there's any question about Adam Pelech being an NHL defenseman, but is he a top pairing defenseman? Is he a top 4 defenseman? Or is he more of a 5-6?
Yeah.
This is what you're going to learn about Adam Pelech in the next 15 or 20 games or so. I think that's where this whole evaluation period is going to go. And honestly, I don't put everything into analytics because if you go into this season, everybody was telling you that Valtteri Filppula, Filppula, thank you. Oh my God, I could start blank there. But everyone was saying that he was an awful player.
That's why
he shouldn't
I just call
be
him
playing
Flip.
In a, you might as well, right?
I just call him Flip.
So everybody was saying that he shouldn't be in the NHL. He's past his prime. His analytic numbers are terrible. He was terrible for Philadelphia.
They still are.
And his analytic numbers are terrible, are not great. The guy is played well.
He's got 3 points in 4 games.
Well, I'm not talking about even offense. I'm talking about just seeing him out there in, you know, are his possession numbers great? No, they're definitely not because you see the numbers at the end of the game and you're like, wow, he's at the bottom of the list again.
Yeah.
But Nick Letty's are also at the bottom of the list and they seem to be on a nightly basis going back to, January of last season. So,
yeah. Yeah, Nick Letty, huh?
He needs to find Jesus or something because he's not. I don't know what's going on with him recently, but since January, he's just not been the same player.
Well, I think he still belongs with Boychuk. They went back to it again
for half a game.
Yeah, I think. And look, we still got to see. It's only 4 games, but. I don't think that Nick Letty is no longer the player that he was.
No, he's still a young dude.
He's still a good player. He's still a great skater.
He needs to find Jesus.
Maybe that's what he has to do.
Well,
but he's still figuring things out. And I guess if you're just looking at, ranking the defensemen, obviously you got Letty and Pulock are your top 2 guys. And one's left, one's right. And you can say, oh, well, why don't you pair those guys up? But I just feel like, because they both have that offensive element to the game.
Yeah, you got
to
split.
You
got
to keep them split up, but then again, like
you don't want Letty.
Now, I also completely understand that I'm about to compare them to a team that had a much deeper defensive system. But just go with me here for a second. But you look at what Chicago did with Seabrook and Keith. They both have offensive potential. You might think in a normal defensive scheme you'd have them split up as well, but they were together. Right, and it worked, right? I'm pretty sure they were the top pair. They were always paired not just in the power play, but also five on five.
Yeah, and then you had Hamilton and Letty on those teams, and
mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And Oduya and a couple other guys. But I'm pretty sure those guys were paired together 5-on-5, and it worked. But, again, I'm hesitant to do that with Letty and Pulock, but if we kind of keep seeing this discombobulated, inconsistent defense, if that continues, then maybe you give that a shot. I think Barry even tried that one night for a little while. It might have even been last night for a little while, but
I believe it was last night.
Yeah. So again, I know we're like just beating it over the head, and we keep saying things like this. It's a work in progress. We got to wait and see. But
it's just what it is.
We all want results, and that's the issue, right? We just want to see the team win. We want to see everybody gel. We want to see everybody do well. And then you got to remember, it's just 4 games, And I'll take 2-2 against the teams that they've played so far. I mean, maybe you walk into the first 4 games before the season starts, and you're like, this is probably a 1-3 start. Maybe they win. Maybe they beat Carolina, and they drop all 3 to Nashville and San Jose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take 2-2. And now they got this tough California swing that they always seem to do in the beginning of the season, but they have done well over recent history. They usually do pretty well out there. What this iteration of the Islanders will do remains to be seen,
right,
yes.
Right.
But they've historically done pretty well on this trip. And I think there's also something to be said about, you got some quotes from the players, like Matt Barzal said he's excited about getting on the road. He's excited about, you know, having the team together, bonding. There's new guys on the squad. They're going to get to know each other a little more. So maybe, you know, this is something else that'll help, you know, bring this team together. I think it's a bummer that we got to wait another 3 days for the next game.
I know.
You know, I was surprised when I looked at the schedule and I saw they're not playing until Wednesday.
Oh, and then they have
three games in four nights. Yeah, they got back-to-back. They got Anaheim Wednesday, L.A. Thursday, and then Saturday would be
San Jose.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, we can go on all day about schedule making. I think the NHL schedule, whoever makes the NHL schedules up is just, I'm not a fan. But I read an article the other day, just kind of, we'll get off of the team and the coaching staff and everything for now. There's an article in The Athletic, and this is going to be my weekly plug on this, but if you're not signed up for The Athletic, you absolutely should be, because
they're paying you, aren't they?
They are. I should be, because
they're paying you,
I can't sing their praises enough, but this article was actually really great. Not that all of them aren't, but this one particularly was, they ranked the top 100 players in the age playing in the AHL. So prospects playing in the AHL.
Okay.
There was a certain criteria. We're not talking about guys like Ryan and Chris Bork, who have been playing in the AHL for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. These were players that are under the age of 25, if I'm not mistaken, played at least 30 games in the AHL last year. So there was an interesting article and an interesting list that was compiled. The Islanders have four of the top 50 young players playing in the AHL on defense. Devin Taves, Mitchell Van de Sompel, Parker Wotherspoon, and
it's got to be Sebastian Aho, right?
And Sebastian. So Aho was number one, by the way. It was Aho, Taves, Van de Sompel, and
out of just those,
Wotherspoon.
Sound Tigers or...
Out of all the defense, all of these, under this criteria of defensemen playing
Aho
in the
AHL.
Aho
was the number one defenseman in the league?
No, not on the Islanders.
Okay,
so
what I was trying to clarify.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So it was, I think Aho was 9, Taves was 12, Van de Sompel was like 30, and Wotherspoon was like 41.
I thought they all looked pretty good in camp.
They all did, but just the part of this was that the Islanders have four of the top 50. The average NHL team only has one has one in the top 50. The Islanders had four
defensemen.
Yes, defensemen on this list.
Okay,
so
nice,
and the only other player that the only other Islanders that made the list was Joshua Hosang. I think he was in the 80s or the low 90s. But Aho was definitely on the list. Whoever I forget who wrote the article. It's driving me crazy that I can't think of it now. But was basically singing the praises of Aho, saying that the performance that he had put overseas and then playing in the AHL last year and then going up to the NHL and producing, you know, playing as he did in the NHL, showed that that was the reason why he was as high on the list as he was, because he seems to be a surefire NHL defenseman. They actually said that of the four, the three of them were surefire NHL defensemen. Mm-hmm. That Van de Sompel, Aho, and Taves would all be.
Okay.
And that Wotherspoon would probably figure out a way to make it just based upon his, you know, his numbers and, you know, what he had, that how he put up numbers in juniors and whatnot.
Okay.
Or whatever. But this was an interesting article because it gave you a whole wide array of everybody that's playing in that, you know, through this criteria, and the Islanders had four guys on that list.
What about the forwards?
Well, that's what I said. Oh, the list was everybody.
Okay.
But if you're picking out all of the defensemen, listing them 1 through 50, the Islanders had four of those.
Did they have any forwards on this list?
Just Hosang.
Just Hosang?
Just Hosang.
Interesting.
In the AHL. Remember, this is just the
AHL.
No,
I know. I got you.
Anybody who's playing, you know, so Beauvillier didn't play
30
games.
I was wondering if maybe Bellows was on there, but I guess
playing
he
in the AHL last year.
Oh, okay, I got you.
He didn't meet the criteria because he only played in juniors.
Okay.
So, but he would obviously show up on next year's list if he plays 30 games in the AHL this year. And then, so you have Bellows that's not on the list. You know, and the other part of it is that Bodie Wild, who's playing in Saginaw, and Noah Dobson, who plays for Akati in the Q, They're not even on this list. So you have four guys on the top 50 AHL defensemen, and two of your other top defensemen aren't even in the AHL.
Their defensive depth in the minors
tremendous.
And beyond is huge.
Tremendous.
Yeah, it's big, not only for joining the team in the near future, but also as trade pieces.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at, is that whenever this transformation of this team, and it's going to happen sooner or later. We've had this discussion off air numerous times.
And on.
But this transformation of this roster is going to happen at some point or another.
Yeah.
There's going to be this assessment period, and then at the deadline, which we all kind of are figuring that this is going to be a deadline where...
Yeah, I don't want to put a hard, deadline on the deadline, meaning like all the changes are coming at the trade deadline.
Oh, no, it's not all of them, but I think that's when... That's
you would think
the
that there
game.
Probably will be. But I would say the safest would be this summer, even if they don't, ship everybody off at the deadline. But look, if they're out of it, they should, obviously.
If they're not keeping them, absolutely.
Yeah, but yes, the change is a-coming. We just got to...
Change is a-coming. I would probably wager a huge bet that the roster that you're seeing right now looks nothing like this come next September.
Yeah, I mean, management more or less has told us that already.
Yeah.
I mean, they more or less have just been like, yeah, we're going to see what's going on. And it's funny because, we keep seeing these frequent interviews with Lamoriello, and he keeps saying how he's still learning what he has. He's still getting to know the guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's still very honest about the fact that he's basically, I don't know these guys.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on yet.
We all know that Lou is a methodical guy, and he's going to take his time. He's taking his time.
Yeah.
We've said it a million times. What's his favorite expression? If you got time, you use it.
Right.
And that's what he's doing. And he's got all this time. He knows that they're not going to compete this year. It's not possible. You don't lose your franchise player and then compete the next season. It just doesn't happen. So see what you have. Figure out what you like and what you don't like. And then what you don't like, you change. And that's what's going to happen. That is what's going to happen here. You don't need a crystal ball in order to see it. It is plain out right in front of you. That is the plan for the New York Islanders. And it's a beautiful plan because there's actually a plan. This is not fly by the seat of your pants.
Yeah.
This is not, let's see what happens. This is a actual bona fide, let's do this. Let's do it. Come on. And the fact that people are bought in, hockey people are bought in. Hockey people are bought in.
Explain.
Barry Trotz is bought in.
Oh, okay.
Mitch Korn did not have to leave Washington. He's got the Vezina winning trophy, a goalie working under the man. He could have stayed in Washington.
Yeah.
He didn't just follow Barry because, hey, I like seeing you, Barry. I like our phone calls. You do wonderful conference calls. I'd love to stay on with doing. Yeah. I mean, could they be paying him a lot more than they were paying in Washington? Sure. Why not? Absolutely. But professionally wise,
that doesn't matter. The why doesn't really matter at the end of the day. The fact is
that
they're with the
here.
Team. Yes,
they're
that's
here.
It.
That's
doesn't matter.
Right. That is right. 100%. And that's what I keep saying, is that these guys are bought in. These are winning coaches. They've been part of winning their entire career. They're
Speaking
not just
of,
good.
They also poached the guy from the Penguins on the arena side of things, more on the financial / I suppose, off the ice.
Did they?
Yes. I forget the gentleman's name.
I
see you clacking away on the keyboard, so I hope you find this guy. I believe he was the COO or CFO of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It was reported, I think, in what's their paper, the Pittsburgh Gazette or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, apparently the Islanders poached this guy, and he had a lot to do with the arena side of things, like the PPG Arena and all that.
It was Pittsburgh. Oakview Group was working with the guy from Philadelphia.
No, this is absolutely a guy who was working for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and now he works for the New York Islanders.
Oh, Lou's got a new picture up.
And
awesome.
And
there's no
Gart Snow. Obviously,
on there's no Gart Snow on this page.
They took him down again.
He's not on here.
He was up there last week.
He's not here now.
All right. Well,
the Lamorillos. Pellegrini, Trotz, Lambert, Gruden, Gomez, Korn, Greco, Joanne Hawa, who's been with the Islanders for 30 years.
No, he was up there as special advisor to the general manager.
Terry Guidiere,
like a week ago.
Ken Morrow. That's it.
Maybe he found another opportunity elsewhere.
Oh, please. With your lips to God's ears.
Who knows? Who cares?
That'd be great.
Who cares? Okay, so anyway, yeah, they poached this guy from Pittsburgh, and apparently he's going to be involved with the – I'm sure he's going to be involved with Belmont. I don't know what title he was given. I was hoping maybe you might have found.
I went right
the clipping
to the page,
or the art. No. He wouldn't be there. It's kind of like, you know, a behind the scenes kind of hiring. Like, I don't even think there was a piece in New York covering it. It came out of Pittsburgh, and I just happened to catch the link. It was found on social media. I think like the Islander Mania Twitter page or something like that. You know, tweeted it or somebody retweeted it or something like that. But anyway, if you happen to stumble upon it, we'll mention the guy's name and what he's probably going to be doing for the team. But I'm sure it's Belmont related, which is, again, they're bringing in people that are helping this machine churn out, you know, a healthier future. At least we'd like to think so. It's looking that way. They're putting money into the franchise. They're putting it into management. They're putting it into behind the scenes. It's not the Charles Wong.
Travis Williams.
There you go. Travis Williams. Sounds like a country artist. But there you go. Travis Williams. They took him from Pittsburgh, and now he's working for the New York Islanders.
Senior executive who will lead the effort to redevelopment. Okay, so the Penguins are hiring someone to replace Travis Williams, who left the Penguins to go to the Islanders. That person is going to be lead the effort to redevelop the parcel of land where the old Civic Center was.
Okay,
so basically, this guy would have been in charge of something similar to that, which is obviously, as you said, be on the Belmont side of things.
There you go. There you go.
Speaking of the Belmont side of things, I don't know if you saw this evening there was an article in Newsday about the fact that there was a little protest at Belmont today.
How little was it, Tony?
It looks pretty little.
I'm not surprised.
It looks kind of little.
I'm not surprised. And they can protest to their heart's content.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
There seems to be a little opposition. It is very little. I told you. I've spoken.
Oh,
with
and also another bitter news is that MSG was bought out of their share in the Oakview Group. So MSG is no longer involved.
Yes.
With the building of Belmont or anything like that.
Which they said.
But it's not going to have any effect.
No, they said that it was. They knew it all along that it was coming to this to this point.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Irving Azoff has basically
there
bought
you go,
out
the music mogul.
Yes. He was not easy. Not EG. Maybe it was AG. Anyway, but Irving Azoff now basically has bought. He took over
MSG.
And he bought out of Oakview, so now Oakview is completely. MSG has nothing to do with this at that point.
All right, but you brought up the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, Tony. Mm-hmm. I'm reeling it back over there.
Go for it.
For a second. So they've played four games. They're 1-2-1. Not. The more interesting thing about the Bridgeport Sound Tigers is, and we did talk about them a little bit last week, with your buddy Frank, Text with Frank.
Text with Frank.
Do you know who's leading?
He was very excited, by the way, the fact that we could possibly have him call in and he can give a report.
Lie. I'm sorry, Frank. You're never calling.
Oh, he's
him.
Very excited about this whole thing. Yeah, you don't know the text that I was getting.
Well,
People were telling him he was going to be a celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's loving it.
Well, anyway, do you know who's leading the Bridgeport Sound Tigers right now with 5 points in four games?
I'm about to find out because I'm going to the page. Go ahead.
Oh, well, that's not fun. It's not fun. You're supposed to guess.
All right, I'll guess. Is it Rick DiPietro?
No.
All right.
It's Michael Dalcole, Tony.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yeah. Michael Dalcole.
5 points in four games?
The guy
wow.
is reborn through
wow.
four games.
Outstanding.
In Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
May he continue. Long may he reign.
Long may he reign.
Hopefully
okay,
that continues.
Good.
So that's your this week's update
mm-hmm.
on the Bridgeport Sound Tigers.
I actually heard I heard from someone I forget that during the game I believe it was last night goalie Jeremy Smith was caught out of the net and Josh Hosang jumped in front of a puck to keep it out of the net.
Sacrificing the body.
That literally hit him, I think, believe it hit him right in the chest, if I remember
hear.
That. So, yes, Josh, by the way, has got 3 assists through 4 games. He is a -5. Devin Taves
that is worst on the team.
3 assists in 4 games. He's a -3. The whole team's a minus, so let's not get too,
yeah,
too
let's,
crazy.
Yeah, that's
there.
Fine. That's fine. Actually, we got a break because we're going to do Hero. We're going to do Hero of the Week.
We are.
So,
okay, sure.
So, folks, thank you so much once again for tuning into Hockey Night in New York. With Sean Cuthbert, myself, and Tony Stabile himself. Tune in live or for the archives at HockeyNightNY.com. 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can access all the shows and listen whenever you like. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you're interested in exposing your business on an exciting new platform to a great audience of potential new customers or clients, then advertise right here on the Hockey Active Radio Network. Reach thousands of listeners every week on our entire radio, social, and online network. Competitive, affordable sponsorships are available now. Contact sales at hockeyactive.com. That's sales at hockeyactive.com. Introduce your business or services to the coolest fans in the world. In need of solid online solutions for your business or service? Then contact Island Web Media today for all your hosting, branding, web design, social, and multimedia needs. With over 15 years of experience in the industry and on top of all the latest trends and platforms, you will get the answers that you need. Island Web Media is an American company based in Long Island, New York. Go to islandwebmedia.com today. That's islandwebmedia.com. The Hockey Active Radio Network is powered by Hockey Active LLC in Long Island, New York. Hockey Active is always looking for good people to join us as we expand our audience reach and network services. If you have digital, video, social media, and sales skills, go to hockeyactive.com today. Call or send us an email and see how you can get involved with an exciting new company covering the coolest game on earth. Once again, that's hockeyactive.com.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Hockey Night in New York. And when you hear this wonderful song, that means it's time for the Hero of the Week. This will be our second Hero of the Week for the season. Hopefully we will have a hero every week. And that will depend on how the Islanders perform from here on out until April. But Tony, I went first last week. So that means it's your turn to go first this week. So please, Tony, let us all know who performed well this week. Who is your hero of the week?
Well, I originally was going to give my hero to one particular guy who probably is an obvious guy, but I'm going to give it to somebody else. I'm going to change it up right at the last.
Crazy
second.
Tony. Crazy
I'm living,
Tony.
I'm living on the edge.
You really are, man.
I'm living on the edge.
You
I'm
really
gonna
are.
I'm tell you that my hero of the week is the guy who scored his 100th NHL goal last night, and that is Brock Nelson, a guy who Islander fans have basically shit on for the last two seasons, and you know, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. The guy's gone through some turbulent times. So, but through the first four games this season under Barry Trotz, as we talked about before, in his RFA UFA season,
yeah,
Brock Nelson seems to be settling in nicely on that second line with Anders Lee. I like what I've seen from him. I feel like he's active out there. I don't feel like he's, like we said before, floating through the zones.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't disappear for large portions of the game. Scored a very nice goal last night.
Mm-hmm.
I like what I've seen from Brock Nelson. So I'm going to give my Hero of the Week to a guy I don't think I've ever given a Hero of the Week to, and I'm going to give it to Brock Nelson.
No, you know what? When you say that, that's actually a good question. Have you ever given Brock Nelson the Hero of the Week? I feel like I've done it at least once.
Maybe you have. I don't
know. I feel like I probably have. I don't know. We'd have to go through the archives. You know what? We'll get the intern on that. We'll have the intern scour the archives.
Intern?
Yeah, we'll have him scour the archives and see if we can figure that out.
Okay.
But you know what? I think he would have been my second choice.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Because I also think he has been performing well thus far. He hasn't been, you know, over the top.
No,
great.
Absolutely not.
But I think He's been active, like you said. I think what I've noticed the most about him so far is his play in the defensive zone. He's been back checking. He's been active that way. You know, he's more or less been just kind of a trigger man, right? When he's doing something good, it's usually because he's scoring goals. He's putting mm-hmm. his nice shot on the net.
No question.
We're usually not crediting him too much for his defensive play because, as you mentioned, the floating and stuff like that. So that's what I like to see. The question is, Tony, is this just another version of Brocktoberfest, or has it finally sunk in? Are we finally going to see this past the month of October? Are we going to be singing his praises in November and beyond? That's the question. Because he's always fast out of the gate, and then he just disappears. He ghosts.
Well, with the faith that I have in Barry Trotz, and the fact that I feel that, as I've said many times before, that he is the one of, if not the top coach in the NHL, I believe that Barry Trotz is, this is the kind of project, this is the kind of guy that Barry Trotz reaches. That he is able to bring the best out of players. And if it's not going to happen for Brock Nelson now, it's never going to happen. So this
right.
is the coach. This is the time for him. He's getting the ice time. He's getting the offensive minutes that he needs. And he's working with a coaching staff that will put an emphasis on the things that he needs to be doing with the puck and away from it. So, yeah, I actually believe that maybe this is, you know, the coming out party for Brock Nelson. At least I hope so, because you never want to root against somebody,
Tony.
And the guy is immensely talented. We know that. So I'm hoping that that's what this is all about.
There's nothing wrong with staying positive four games into the season.
Of course.
So I hope that you're right.
I hope I'm
right,
I
will
too.
Not be surprised if
I
you're
like
wrong.
Right.
Yeah, it feels nice being right.
It does.
It does. So, I hope that you're right. We'll find out. We'll find out as the games go on because,
mm-hmm.
As I've said in the past, that's why they play the games, Tony. I know you love that one. That's why I snuck that one in there.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, my turn. Hero of the Week. I think you know where I'm going with this.
I think I do too.
But I'm going to do it anyway. I got to go with Robin Lehner. Shutout performance in his debut. And as I've said on the show already, really backing this guy, really hoping that, you know, this season, with his fresh outlook on his life, on his personal life, that this is a springboard into bigger and better things. Whether it's with the Islanders or not, I hope he ends up earning himself another contract and everything's great. But so far, I like what I've seen out of him. He had a fantastic game, as we already noted, on Monday against the Sharks. I think he still played pretty well last night, as I've already said, regardless of the fact that he gave up four goals and they had the loss, but I think the team left him out to dry. I want to see him, as of right now, get more starts over Thomas Greiss. So far, so good. Basically, what is it, 2.02 goals against? Yeah, because he gave up four goals in two games, so this is easy math. He had the shutout. So there you go.
Put the
ladies and gentlemen,
away.
Yeah. Robin Lehner, Hero of the Week.
Very good.
Long may he reign.
Long may he reign.
Yeah, you know what? I had a few minutes earlier today. And I was looking at what does that even mean? Anyway, I had some Game of Thrones reruns going while I was doing some stuff, you know, in the background.
Okay. Very good.
And so that's why I'm on this Long May He Reign kick.
That's
have you started watching that show yet?
I it's on my list.
It's
on my list. It is. I have
clown.
To. Well, no, because I got to watch it before it comes on because
you're
I've
just,
been told my life has been threatened.
You're
by
not
two,
living your best life, Tony.
Two people
until
have
you
threatened
start,
my life because of this.
No,
so.
Until you start watching that show, you're not living your best life. You're missing out. You're missing out.
I understand.
It's
I
great show.
Believe me, I understand.
Right.
I'm, it's on, it is definitely
good.
At the top of my
good
TV watching.
Good.
List.
Good.
When is it coming out again?
The final season is coming in April, I think, or May.
Oh, I gotta get on my horse here. This is
yeah, man. You got seven seasons to catch up.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, what is it? It's only
you
like
can
11.
Do it.
It's not like 11. Is it 11 episodes per season?
10 and then 7. But we don't want to take too much of the listeners' time here talking about non-Islander stuff.
That's true.
So I don't know why you brought up Game of Thrones in the first place.
I go off on my tangent sometimes.
I know it's all your fault. It's all your fault. All right, so.
We're gonna start a secondary podcast just to talk about
are
other
we?
Stuff. We should. Why not? Why not?
Sure.
I think that would be a great idea.
Hey, well, okay. Well, we'll talk about that
movie
off air.
Movie reviews
we'll,
with Tony and Sean. Come on, what do you think? Come
no,
on.
No, I'm not into it.
Come on.
It. No.
Oh, you. Come on.
I don't have time.
Not fun.
Oh, I'm not funny.
You're
he
not,
says
you're not
that's
funny.
That's funny. That's funny. All right, let's wrap this up, man. I figure we should probably wrap up around 10:30, so we got like 5 or 6 minutes. So any closing thoughts? Any closing arguments? We brought up the fact that they got the Cali trip coming up. What do you want to see? What do you want to see in this upcoming road trip? They got a few days off here before now on Wednesday. What do you want to see going forward?
I want to see consistency. I want to see improvement. I want to see them continue to make steps in the right direction, playing the way that Barry wants them to play. As you said, I'd like to get through a game where Lane Lambert doesn't have that look on his face where like, oh God, not again.
Yeah,
I'd like to see that. Look, this stretch of games in the beginning of this season is brutal for this team, okay? Carolina only lost their first game in regulation today to Winnipeg, which is one of the top teams in the NHL.
Yeah.
Okay,
Carolina's
so they played
pretty good.
They played Carolina night one. They played Nashville night two. They played San Jose. They played Nashville again. Now they got San Jose, L.A., and Anaheim, three games in 4 days on a West Coast trip early on in the season. This is a brutal stretch of games. If they can get points in half of the games that they played at the end of this road trip,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking back from Carolina on, so they got points in two of the first three. They didn't get anything last night. If they can get points in two of these games, I will be very satisfied with where things are. And again, it's all about progress. If I'm seeing progress, that's what's going to make me happy. That's all I'm looking for right now, progress.
Yeah, that's good, Tony. I think that should be the theme of the season, progress.
Progress.
Let's see some progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can't have all the wins, maybe just some progress, right?
Sure.
And we get closer to that goal, that elusive goal of being a perennial playoff and Stanley Cup contender,
mm-hmm.
and then eventually seeing the New York Islanders and Captain Andersley raising that Stanley Cup above his head after they dispatched the Toronto Maple Leafs in the conference finals in seven games.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Right? Let's see that. I want to see that. I want to see them do that, and then
well, that's not going to happen this week.
Win the cup.
But let's just start this week and see where we're at after this week.
It's not going to happen this week. It's not going to happen this year. It's probably not going to happen for at least a couple more. But I have goals in mind, man.
I can see that.
They're
lofty.
That's the future.
You have them.
That's the future. I want.
You have some lofty goals, but they are goals.
And then
that's
he passes it off to Panarin and Barzal. You know,
that's
what I want to see.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too.
But let's
hopefully Panarin would like to see that.
Yeah, let's get through this California trip in October of 2018 before we go any further. But Tony, I think with that, I think we can wrap this up.
Yeah.
A little 90-minute show.
Yeah, no, it's nice. Very condensed. Very,
right.
You know, it's good.
Some people think it's too long, even at 90 minutes.
I agree.
But, you know, we tried to do 90 minutes the last couple of weeks, and somehow we still ended up going to
over
like an hour 50.
We had a lot more to talk about. Two games
we did.
In 7 days is not exactly it's not two-hour material right there.
It's not two-hour material.
No.
All right. Well, folks, if you made it this far with us, we appreciate it as always. Our numbers so far have been excellent since the start of the season, so I just want to send out a real big thank you to all you listeners out there. Much appreciated. And, hey, keep plugging the show. Keep telling your friends. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at HockeyNightNY. You can follow Tony at TonyStabile. You can follow myself at ShawneeHockey. If you have any questions, comments for the show, you can email us. And that email address is HockeyNightNewYork, spelled out, at gmail.com. Hey, if you want to sponsor us, send us a little email. You know, it's not free putting the show together, so we could use the help if you want to give it to us. If not, we're still going to do the show, but we're open to that possibility.
Every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps. And like I was saying before, don't forget, you can always tune in for our live show Sunday night at 9 p.m., or for the archives at HockeyNightNY.com. And that reminds me, Tony, a little programming update. There is an exception to what I just said. Next Sunday, we will not be on the air, folks. Unfortunately, we will not be having a show. But we will be back in 2 weeks. That would be Sunday the 28th.
Yes.
So hopefully this show can hold you over for the next 2 weeks. If we can like sneak something in between there, we'll try.
Sure,
it's going to be difficult. But
we'll
see. If not, we're back in 2 weeks again. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much to Chris King, and have a wonderful rest of your Sunday night. For Tony Stabile, I'm Sean Cuthbert. Take it easy.